No!
No! No!
What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years!
You're a cunt, Brian.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Brian.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Brian.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a brand new episode, episode 25 of No, Sir, I Don't Like It. I am Carmen Morales. I am your host, and with me, as always, is my co-host.
Thank you, finally.
Brian Vogt.
That's all I've ever wanted.
Is just want to be a co-host.
I just want to be a co-host. I just don't want to be with.
No, you're not. You're definitely not with me. You're always against me, which is why this podcast works.
Mm-hmm. Wait, with, because in acting is with, because I notice in Always Sunny, mm-hmm. they say all the cast members' name, and then it says with Danny DeVito. Now, is that saying he's bigger?
That's like featuring, yeah, with Danny. Well, he also has a smaller role. Like, he's also like a...
No, he's a main character.
He's a secondary character.
Really?
Think about every single episode.
I am.
He's not eminent in every single episode. The main four are. He's like another character that, like, you know...
I feel like after the third season, he became... Well, anyway, so, but in acting with is a bigger deal, so maybe I don't like the co-host thing anymore.
Oh, okay, so...
Now I wanted to go back to
with Brian Vokey.
Yeah.
But definitely not featuring. Featuring, it means like you're like a new, like, or the introducing.
Introducing
is always like you're brand new.
Hi, I'm Brian Vokey, and I'm introducing Carmen Morales.
You wish, but it's the other way around, for sure.
We got some hate.
We got some hate email. Let's talk about it.
Our friend Matt Maloney here. Subject line, another one from this fucking guy. This fucking guy.
That's got to be about you.
Now, he listen to this, all right? I demand, this is his letter. This isn't just me. I demand the listeners of this show be aware that a one Mr. Brian Vokey, not my name, so I'm not going to take it personal.
There's no L. You're not a Vulcan. It's Vokey.
Vokey. Mr. Brian Vokey has seen me in person not just once, but twice since the release of No Sir, I Don't Like It, episode 22, Buy in Bulk. On neither occasion did Mr. Vokey provide me with a maple bar. Not one from Dunkies, not one from anywhere. Well, there is no Mr. Vokey, so I don't think he can give you a maple bar. Matthew Malonel. So if you listeners found yourself encouraged to write to the show in hopes that you too may be rewarded with a breakfast pastry of any sort, then I have some sour news for you. It ain't gonna fucking happen, so don't even fucking bother. We shall see if you cowards at No Sir, I Don't Like It have the cojones required to release this scandal-ridden email in its entirety to your listeners. I'm doing it, buddy. I very much doubt it, of course. Well, you got my name wrong, and your doubts are unfounded, so... 2-0 me. What have you to gain? Despite this, we know that the people deserve the truth. Hypocrisy in a podcast. That is indeed what I do not like. So, in summation of Brian Vokey, is he funny? Possibly. A man of his word? Absolutely not. Great episode as always, Matthew Maloney. Now, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about with a maple bar. Luckily, there's a little postscript here.
Because it was from like, that was the episode where the trees made you cry and he wrote an email making fun of you. And then you're like, oh, I'm so glad somebody made fun of me.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
buy him a maple bar.
Dude, that's so funny. I should get that guy a donut.
You should. Here we go. And the circle continues. Now you're not going to do it. And he's going to write us another email saying that you didn't do it.
Yeah. So he wrote, Oh, thank God somebody made fun of me for that. I'm buying Matt a fucking donut. I'm going to Dunkies and I'm getting him a maple bar. Quote, Brian, now with an I all of a sudden. Brian Vokey. Now, I'm neither Brian with an I nor Vokey. Upon hearing Matthew's criticism, episode 22. Well, thank you for writing in, Matt. If I meet this Brian with an I, Vokey, I'll let him know he owes you a maple bar. Jeez. And we got another nice letter. I mean, we don't want to eat the whole time up, and this one's just sweet. From an old friend of mine, Angie Bloomfield, who lives, she's from South Dakota. She's the only person I know who lives in Mendocino County, California, and it's bigger than the place she came from.
Wow.
She's from an old cornfield in South Dakota.
What part of South Dakota?
You ever been to Corn Palace?
Corn Palace? No.
It's like a famous truck. It's like south of the border. You know that one?
That's yeah.
It's like that, but up there. It's like a weird...
I think I haven't gone far enough west in South Dakota. I'm mainly stuck with like... it was on the east side of South Dakota.
Yeah. This is on the... I think it's on the west side.
I think it was Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
I forget what town she's from, but I know that the basketball player, Mike Miller, is from there.
Cool.
LeBron James' best friend.
Aww.
Uh-huh.
Tell him I said hi.
If you guys could see the bitchy look on her face when she made that.
It's not bitchy. It's disinterest. There's a difference.
I don't know. So everybody I thought was being a bitch to me was just bored?
Yes.
She made fun of us for always begging for emails, which was funny. And she basically, let me see, what was really funny? There's a lot of funny stuff in this email, but it's really nice. So I'm just going to stick to the more negative part of the paragraph.
Yeah, stick to the part where she's hating on
stuff. She says, she's from up in Mendocino County, which I live around so many goddamn hippies that are always putting a positive spin on the shittiest of things. Like, unbelievably so.
Like, it's unrealistic. You know, when people are just like, everything's great and wonderful. Like, those are the people that wear people's skins.
I know.
You know?
When I saw that guy drove that car into the rally, I've always thought about getting a speedboat and driving it through reggae on the river. Mendocino County. That's something I've always thought of.
I didn't even know
that's
a thing. Mendocino County is mostly white people, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like a reggae fest full of white people?
Isn't every reggae fest that?
Oh my God.
I don't know very many black people listen to reggae.
I don't know. I mean, that's not true. I was introduced to reggae by a black person.
Yeah, well,
Peter
I just try
Tosh
not to talk to them, so maybe they
yeah,
do.
Shut up.
But she said, no, sir, I don't like it. Satisfies the part of me that hates all of them. The hippies. Let's go back to that. Yeah. We were just talking about a different group of people. That's not who we hate. Hates all of them and needs to hear other people bitch as much as my inner dialogue does on the reg. Thanks, guys. Being a drunk housewife has its perks, apparently. Who am I kidding? Being a drunk housewife is pretty fucking great compared to, I don't know, being a Syrian refugee, for example.
Touche.
Peace, love, crystals, and white people dreads from Mendocino County. Love, Angie. Thank you, Angie.
Thanks, Angie. You're the best.
Tell your children I said hello and your husband. Anyway, we got new stuff that we don't like. Thank you for sending your emails. It's nosiridontlikeitpodcast@gmail.com if you guys want to send in. Also, thanks to the bumping listeners. Welcome aboard. I appreciate the numbers are looking good. Okay, I had some shit to throw.
What's up?
comedy bios.
Oh, man. There's so many bad ones. I used to work in the office for a comedy club, so we got first dibs to see all of that stuff,
mm-hmm.
and some of them are the most ridiculous. There was one that's like, his comedy is like a side-winding kamikaze plane that just crushes audiences with punchlines. Like, it was ridiculous.
A side-winding
barreling through audiences with his talent and wit and like so. I'm like, what are you? Are you selling a used car right now? What the fuck are you talking about? You're not an action movie. You're a comedian. His jokes bust through a brick wall like a fucking bull through.
I will splatter your guts on the wall with my humor. Okay, that's cool.
It was so stupid.
People say the corniest shit about their bios. But there's one I was.
Well, here's the thing. Nobody's bio is good, and nobody feels good about their bio because it's either you
it's
or
braggadocious.
Somebody. Yeah, for sure. So it's like, just try to give somebody a bliff. If somebody was, you know, if you had a Helen Keller, how would you describe yourself to her? You know, how would you describe your comedy to her? You know, so you
like
try to be
fucking punch in the face.
Yeah,
with a set of fingers as cocks. I have a cock hand of jokes that I'll slap you in your fucking bitch face, you blind deaf whore.
Yeah,
that's my comedy bio.
As seen on Fox.
Uh, Brian's taking his penis hand of comedy from Conan, and he's fucking butt-fucked Jimmy Kimmel right in his humor asshole.
It's just so stupid. It's so stupid. I always had somebody else write it because I never wanted to write mine. But yeah, it's never good. What's the one? What was the one you heard that was bad?
The one, there's one line in a bio I saw recently that made me want to lose my mind. Didn't make me want to. It just made me lose my mind. it said she draws her material mostly from the everyday trauma of chasing your dreams. Blah.
No, dude, come on. Everyday what's the everyday trauma? Having a job and doing what everybody else does without comedy?
Can you the first thing I thought was, I was like, can you imagine going to the fucking Funny Bone in Columbus, Ohio?
I can't imagine that.
And talking about talking to a crowd of people who, like, one dude hammered his thumb that day on the construction site. All the women have shit fucking babies out their crotch.
Yep.
They all are in failing marriages. They just fucking, it's just a miserable, miserable fucking place. And then you're like, do you know how hard it is to do comedy in New York?
It's so hard.
Yeah,
it's so hard to do this thing I don't have to do, this really privileged job.
No, nobody asked me to do. No. Nobody asked me to do this.
My parents weren't comedians. This wasn't a generation after generation.
I wasn't raised in a circus. Yeah, no, so fucking annoying.
Everyday trauma. Like, it's so hard for me. Chasing your dream.
I went to a club and my stomach hurt, and then it wasn't packed and my jokes didn't work. I am traumatized. Trauma. Like, the word trauma means nothing anymore.
Dude, I think a lot of those words don't mean anything anymore. Like, if you took somebody... Even when you, because whatever, what qualifies everybody as racist now, like somebody in the 50s who was being actually fucking like, it's not the same. Yeah. Now you could say a rap lyric and somebody's like, that's racist.
I know. We need all new words.
We need more intense.
To pay money to use them. So it's like, is it worth $50 to call this guy racist?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty good. And then the money goes to black people.
No.
No, no.
Where does the money go? It goes to me. It's my fucking idea. This stealing ideas. See, this is that liberal
bullshit.
You're
really becoming a capitalist, buddy. you're really switching sides.
The American dream is to have a good idea and monetize it. I just had a good idea.
I thought it was to go through the everyday trauma of chasing your dream.
Oh my God. I was stuck in traffic and missed the sign up to an open mic. Oh God, nobody can relate to that. The whole point of being a comedian is to pretend you're normal to go up there and be relatable even though you have nothing in common with people. You want to instantly have a rapport with people. That's the skill. The skill is to be able to have a rapport
to connect
with anybody.
That's the point. Because the whole I was watching this I was on the plane, right? I was flying back here from Florida, and there's that Dying Laughing or something like that, and it's all these comics talking about how hard it is being a comedian, and like all famous ones, huge famous comedians. And I'm just like,
so hard.
I'm like, dude, come on. Like, it's not that bad. And what's even crazier is the general populace genuinely believes it. Like, when I talk to people who haven't seen me, they're just like, I think it's so amazing that you're chasing your dream and stuff. And I know what it is. It's the fear of it. It's scary to risk, to take risk in your,
like, how's your life working out? Whoever you're saying this to you.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm living, I'm not, it's not great, you know what I mean?
I have 7 roommates.
That's pretty rad, I only have 4. But
well, I'll have 7 in October, I don't want to be dramatic, I have 6 right now. There is a boyfriend moving in.
I have 4, 2 of which don't have my phone number, like I don't talk to them at all, really. But my point is like, that idea is just so fascinating. I think people think it's supposed to be grueling, and there are parts of it that are mentally exhausting for sure. Like, but again, I'm not roofing in Florida in the middle of August. You know, I'm not doing anything that's like, I mean, it's not that bad, guys. I'm just poor. I'm giving up having money is all it is.
Right. And you know what else is awful? It's just being alive. So,
well, life in general is shitty.
Just sucks.
I just found a way for me to feel a little bit less shitty about myself. Like, yeah. Then that's what comedy does for me. That's why I can't not do it. It makes up for me being poor, you know? And in the hopes that maybe I could make a good living at it. But I think that's what it, because the same thing happens. We have a mutual friend right now who is on America's Got Talent, right? And yeah. He still broke a shit, and everybody just assumes it because he was on television that he's fucking rich. And he's not.
He's going to have money in like 3 months.
He'll have money eventually.
He was bitching to me recently about being broke, and I was like, shut the fuck up, all right? You have a pot of gold at the end of your rainbow.
But that's the thing is, like, you never know how long that's going
to
last.
I love him to death.
I do, too. You never know how long that's going to last. But I think people just assume that the minute that happened, like, I think people think I have money just because I did that show that on Fox. It was a test show. It was not even a thing. I'm not. I just paid rent for an extra month. And you got
taxed to death on it.
I did.
Got hit over the head with taxes.
Oh, my God. So much of it's gone. And that's the other thing that nobody ever really takes into consideration is the stuff that you, the bigger stuff that you get, especially out here, everybody has to take their piece. So especially if you have representation, you have 10% going to an agent, 10% going to a manager, 5% going to an attorney. You have lose 50%, 40 to 50% in taxes. You still don't make that much fucking money. That's why they make so much money, so everybody can make money.
They being Jews?
No, Brian.
You said it, not me.
I'm saying everybody in the industry.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
You know, the pastrami eaters.
You leave cancers out of this. I'm not talking about that. But it's just like, wait,
you do know the Jews run this town because the taquerias have pastrami.
Where, do they really?
Yes. Nowhere else in the world the taquerias have pastrami. That's fine. I'm not complaining. I'm not griping. I'm just
pastrami just tacos.
Exactly. Where else do you get a pastrami taco?
Do you really think it'd help if you converted? Like, do you think that actually makes a difference?
For me, no. I'm past my prime. There's nothing I could do.
as far as being a real Jew.
Yeah, I'd have to survive a 9/11 thing or something.
What? To become Jewish? No, you don't just take the class.
I was saying to help my career.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Being Jewish is it's past that.
That's, okay. Yeah.
I was thinking about losing weight because I told you last night I want to lose weight because this is I want to do a standing 69 really bad, but I want to be held.
You want to be the girl.
The one being held in the standing 69.
You want her to fucking hold you up. You want a Ronda Rousey to fucking have her arms around you.
Yeah. Just holding me like a little baby.
That's got to be, but, even
well, no,
nobody
69 is a baby, so that's not
that's,
like
yeah,
that's
really gross. Bad example.
yuck. But anyway, I was thinking about losing weight, and I was like, probably make me a little more bookable in town.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I'm just so in between right now. I'm not fat and I'm not skinny. I'm just lumpy.
Lumpy?
But then I was
which
like,
is the worst for a comedian, apparently, because if you're fat, you can make fun of that. And if you're not fat, then you can make fun of fat people.
And then the Louis C.K. covered lumpy to death.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just no.
And then Gabriel Iglesias says fluffy. So
but fat, you can go on forever.
For sure.
Yeah. Who won't laugh at that? But I was like, man,
I don't know, man. I think that's good. I think that's starting to fade now because then it's like, no, don't make fun of yourself. Don't fat shame yourself.
Ugh, fuck off. That's why I love that Bill Burr, he kept saying fatties on his most recent special.
I fell asleep the first time I watched it because I watched it 3 a.m. I rewatched it recently. It is funny.
It's really funny.
It is funny.
Turns out he's funny.
Yeah.
It's weird.
He's been funny this whole time.
Didn't
just
know
because
that.
He made fun of fat people doesn't make him not funny.
Yeah, no, but I was like, maybe if I lose weight, I'll look a little better and I can book a commercial and then not have to cater or whatever. But then I was like, it's too late to be thinking like that. Like at this point, if anything works for me, it's going to be because I earned it on merit. Like
you did start a little later than say the average 22-year-old that's trying to do stand up right now. Yeah, absolutely. Who gives a shit? Here's the thing: it doesn't matter. And that's one of the things. Bill Burr, you can never take. Once you're good enough, they can't take it away from you. What are you going to tell me? I can't do comedy in strip malls? Fuck that. That's what my whole thing is. Is all of this is bonus to me? I already laid my groundwork. I could be a comedian for the rest of my life, make $45,000 a year. You know what I mean? Headlining places that in places nobody's ever heard of, and who gives a shit? And I'll be fine. Yeah. But
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's my goal.
Yeah.
You've accomplished my career goal already.
Well, and that's why, like, that's what reminds me to and yeah, exactly. You should. Absolutely. Yeah. You just go from 7 roommates to 4. That's all it happens.
In LA, you can make $45,000 a year and have 3 roommates, 4 roommates. That's fucking insane.
By the way, I don't make $45,000 a year. Oh. I don't. But I'm saying, like, a headlining comedian.
It's close. It
depends on the year.
No, in career. I'm not saying in numbers.
In career, like, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Like road guys that I know, they can make up anywhere from like $38,000 to $45,000 a year. Unless they're doing clean, they could do corporate. Then you can make more, you know, stuff like that. Like, there's money to be made. It's still a business. You could still make money. But they're not making like fame, like people who've been on TV money, you know? And even then, I know people who've been on TV who don't have any money. Like, who are consistently on TV and have no money.
That sounds like maybe they're making poor decisions in their lives, though.
Either that or they started out in crippling debt and still aren't out of debt yet.
I know a guy who's on a show, and I haven't seen him have a line yet. And he writes on the show, and I've seen him buy 2 cars.
Wow.
Since that happened.
Yeah, a lot of it's like what you do with your money, too, you know? Well, I mean, I've tried to be, I don't know how you are with your money, but I've tried to emulate like what rich people do with theirs, but with a smaller amount. Like, for instance, I started a retirement account. I'm going to die alone, you know, with or without a spouse or whatever. So I have to take care of myself when I'm old, right?
Right.
I know you're probably banking on the fact that you're going to die soon, so you probably aren't thinking much about the future, but longevity runs in my family.
I have $200 in my savings account.
Whoa! So, you have a savings account?
I have since I was 18.
Damn, that's impressive.
There's nothing in there. No, they just gave it to me.
Wow.
I don't... but I... ladies, $200 in savings account, just saying.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah,
look at you. You could invest that in yourself. Well, that's my whole thing. So I started a retirement account. It takes out like $100 a month.
Like an IRA?
Yeah. And so then when I'm old, if comedy, you know, if I never reach a high enough peak where I'll be able to take care of myself later, then I'll have this, you know, small amount of money that'll help me live.
Right.
Well, I'm doing Paducah, Kentucky, and gonna hang myself in a hotel room.
Oh yeah. You know what sucks is, you want to hang yourself in Paducah, and I've wanted to hang myself in Schenectady.
I know, we talked about it.
But now fucking Jim Norton's all over the radio making Schenectady jokes. I've noticed, and I was like, man, you took my suicide.
You think
town.
He's listening to our fucking podcast, man? I'm telling you, he's ripping our shit off.
All I'm saying is, great minds think alike. That is a funny city name, Schenectady.
It is. Schenectady is funny.
Relatively unknown comedian Brian Vokey was found hanging from a doorpost or whatever. What do you call those? What do you call that? Where the door thing? Jam?
Door frame?
Door frame. And it's connected in a fucking roadside motel in Schenectady, New York.
Red Roof Inn for me, baby. Because I think it'd be funny if I killed myself in a Red Roof Inn.
Dude, my grandmother said she doesn't plan on... She said she's checking out next year.
Dude, my dad's been threatened to be dead fucking every season at this point. Yeah, I'm so tired of that.
My grandmother's a no-nonsense, 8 words a day fucking woodsy Mainer.
Wow.
She's not a dramatic, hot-blooded Latino man who has a range of emotions that's like a roller coaster.
He's bipolar. I'll give him that. But he's also a dick. I'm so fucking... This is something I don't like. I'm so sick and tired of people... who, and it's not just my dad, but have mental illness and think that's supposed to excuse shitty behavior. There's a difference. Like, you have to make, like, you...
But the thing is, that's what the illness is.
It's not, though. There's a difference. For instance, if you're depressed, suicidal tendencies are part of being depressed. But that doesn't mean that you're a dick, you know? And my dad's a dick, and then will use mental illness as an excuse to be a dick. I've seen people do this with addiction, too. They're like, oh, you know, they're selfish assholes. And then they're like, oh, I'm a drunk. I gotta be a selfish asshole. And then they get sober, and guess what? They're still a fucking selfish asshole.
Right. But these are symptomatic. These are symptoms of an illness. That's the thing, though. Mental illness take place? In the brain. Where does behavior come from? In the brain. I don't know any chill people with mental illness.
I do. I know plenty of people who are mentally ill that aren't assholes. That's what I'm talking about.
It manifests in different ways. Like, some people go inward and they withdraw and they don't want to be a burden on anybody, but they still, and then they just blow their brains out. Other people, it's just like, That's like going down to MacArthur Park and seeing a homeless guy moonwalking naked and being like, you don't have to do this just because you're crazy. And it's like, no, that is what he has to do because he's fucking crazy.
That's different. That's completely different. Because this person is also still functioning in society. He's not crazy like that to the point where he's moonwalking naked in MacArthur Park.
But he has a mental illness, so his behavior is erratic.
It's not that. He's on meds, too. The kid is medicated. The guy in MacArthur Park is not medicated. He's not treating that.
Yeah, but medicines don't just fix mental illness.
They don't, but they fucking help. They help, and so does therapy and all that shit. It's work. It's work to not be a piece of shit.
What is he doing that is not related to his mental illness? What's the extra shit? Because you don't know. Maybe you don't know what it's like inside his head, what it feels like.
I know for a fact that I don't, because I don't have the same mental illness he does.
Right.
But having that said.
Having said that,
my mom went to the shrink, right? To talk about, because my dad also lies and hides.
Now, your last name is Morales. Is this a person who shrinks heads? Is this like a voodoo?
I'm going to beat the shit out of you. You know exactly what I mean. I mean a psychiatrist.
You're from Florida. Last name's Morales. You could be going to like some Haitian who actually shrinks heads.
My dad was into like a version of that. Santeria?
Santeria.
Santeria. But that's like the Catholicism and voodoo like fucked and made a weird baby. But she went to talk to the shrink and like asked, she was like laid out all the behaviors, him threatening, like, because he threatens to kill himself all the time. That's totally a symptom. That's depressive. He when he's manic, he goes off and wants to buy everything and thinks that he's okay and like his mental illness is gone. Like, that's why a lot of people with bipolar don't take their medicine when they're manic, because they think they've been fixed and they think they're, I'm fine now, everything's gonna be okay. And but he's also just a dick. He's just mean. Mean is not a symptom of mental illness.
How? But I think it is.
How? Why?
Because if you're going through the exhaustion that mania puts you through, and then the lows that suicidal depression puts you through, you're not going to just be a night. I mean, some people may, but like, it makes total sense to me that if your life is constantly way up, way too high, I've had 18 cups of Cuban coffee, shaky, and then all of a sudden all the way down to all I can eat is ice cream and I want to die. I don't imagine you being able to, like, if you don't have like an exceptional brain, being able to process in a way to just be a nice guy.
Maybe if he's 22 and this is all fucking new, but he's an old man. He should know how to deal with his own fucking brain by now.
But
I got fucked up. There's things that are fucked up with me that my brain, I have to
I don't believe it.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. You don't believe it? That's why I'm fucking comfortable in the number one fear place that everybody else has. Yeah. I have and it takes work every day for me to not be a fucking lunatic, especially in the context of a relationship. It takes so much work for me to not lash out, be a bitch, and all of these things that I want to do just because it seems really fun and that's a nice little rush and I get it, and like throwing shit and breaking shit and punching people, all of those things give you the adrenaline that feels fucking amazing. But you don't have to do that.
I don't know. I mean, okay, maybe you don't have to do it, but I just like if your brain doesn't work right, I don't know why you would expect somebody to act right.
I'm not asking him to act right. I'm asking him to not be a dick to me and my mom. That's what I'm asking. And I think he's very capable of doing that because he goes through plenty of time where he can be really sweet. He can be. And then he picks times to be a cunt. It's real manipulative.
When he picks those times, who's picking? Him or his disease?
Him.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm absolutely sure. Because I know the difference. I know the difference when he is out of control. I can see it. Like, I've observed him my whole life. This is 30 years of me watching this psycho. I can see him when he's fucking out of control and he can't, and he's trying to fight himself. And I see that, and I'm empathetic, and I try really hard to be, you know, compassionate and in those times and be supportive. But then there's times where he's just being a dick. He's just being a dick. And then it's like, oh, I'm fucked up. I can't. I'm fucked up. Yeah. Are you? Are you?
He is.
Yeah, he is.
Diagnosed fucked up.
He is, but my point is, he's using being mentally ill as an excuse to be a dick.
Didn't he attack you with a sledgehammer?
Yes.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, what do you think? I'm not scared of anything, dude. I fought my dad. I fought my grown man dad.
You grew up in a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Kind of.
He built a bomb, right?
He built a bomb, too.
He built a bomb.
That's, see, that's my whole thing. Like, I'm not. Yeah, that is. What is it? Said Acme on the side, written in Sharpie. He wrote Acme on it.
Yeah.
But like stuff like that, I'm very like when that happened, I wasn't mad at my dad that he tried to because he couldn't handle what was happening. He didn't know how to fucking discipline an unruly bitch like
so
myself.
He built a bomb.
So he built a bomb to fucking homicide suicide combo and get rid of all the problems. That part I'm not mad at him about, but I'm mad when I'm just there visiting and trying to have a good time with my family, and he comes in and say, oh, let's just kick out Carmen's friends. That'll be funny. Like, he's just a cunt. He's being a cunt for no reason.
I just don't buy the no reason part. I'm not saying it's not difficult for you to go through this, and I'm not saying that it doesn't suck, but I think there's very much a reason, and I think it's a...
What's the reason, Brian?
Is the diagnosis that he has. Already, the bipolar, the mental illness.
How? He's fucking nice to literally everyone else at that party, but being a dick to me.
Well, have you
how does
about
that excuse?
Maybe,
mental illness doesn't get to pick and choose who it's a dick to.
Have you thought about how maybe it's you and maybe you suck?
Oh, is that it?
I'm kidding. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, I got the real.
We need to get off this podcast so I can beat the shit out of you.
Oh, that felt good. That felt good. That face I got from you. I felt.
Is
a
this
little...
how you date? You just say shit to make women insane, and then they hit you, and you're like, they're fucking crazy.
No, that I have engaged in that, and then. But then, no, I've also been completely outmatched. And I've been on your side of this, too. I've also dated people who do that to me.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that was more... The reason why that felt good is it felt like a brother-sister. It reminded me of being a
for
kid
sure.
And
yeah,
getting
yeah.
my sister to punch me or something.
Yeah, I always wanted a brother. I think that's why this works well.
That was nice. I felt a little in danger for a second. That was good. That was like when you push a red light and there's a car coming. I could get T-boned and die.
I could.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm on your father's side.
You just want to be because you're a dick. And
I don't want anything. I just
I don't
exist.
Want anything. That's not true.
I
you want to be held while you're being 69'd.
Yeah, but that's like that's instinctual. You know, that's not like
that's
a desire. That's just in our DNA.
Is it?
Yeah, that's just in the human DNA. That's more of a just a little twist on procreation.
And that's the whole thing that
I'm
sucks,
programmed
is like,
to stand 69.
Is that mm-hmm. are you? Where did you get your software from? If you were programmed for that,
I don't know. Maybe somebody spilled coffee on my circuit board.
But it's the same like it's the same shitty behavior that happens where here's an example that you could probably relate to. People like. Women who are actually being manipulative
uh-huh.
to men and then blaming men for them being manipulative.
Uh-huh.
It's that kind of like, and that's even without mental illness. It's the same kind of behavior. It's still humans do it with or without mental illness. So that's what I'm saying is like, I've seen people without mental illness be mean for no reason, completely unprompted. And I've seen people with mental illness do the same thing. It's a constant.
I guess what I don't understand, and this is not me suggesting something. This is me just not knowing something. I don't know if people with mental illness can behave on two different levels, one through the illness and one not through the illness. Like, I don't know if that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is a thing.
I think it is a thing because I've also talked to a lot of people with mental illness about this too. Because
is it
I did
like fog. Like
I did think it was like
fog?
I did think it was me. I did think that I was a piece of shit for a long time and that my dad was
of
mean to me. Because
did. That's why I said that. I knew every kid. You're a child. You can't process it any other way.
Right. So of course I thought it was me and I thought I was awful and other shit. But I talked to. I mean, even as recently as like a couple of months ago, I talked to somebody and they're like, it's. It's like having kind of like a, almost like a shitty, fucked up, Vietnamese like a no, that's Vietnamese Siamese sorry like a Siamese twin like a Something that's attached to you that's fucking everything up
like
all the time.
Like a head grown out of your shoulder. Yeah. That's just yelling into your ear.
Yeah, all the time. And so, and a lot of times, that's what gets hurt instead of the actual person.
I like a Vietnamese head being... Mental illness is like having a Vietnamese head
growing like a
out of your
twin.
Shoulder and yelling into your ear. Shall stick a butt!
No, I don't think that's not accurate at all. That's not how Vietnamese talk.
Huh?
That's not how Vietnamese talk at all.
I don't know. I saw a Vietnamese guy on the street with he was blind and we scared him. And the guy threatened to shove the stick up his butt. So I was just quoting a Vietnamese guy I saw recently. He goes, "Do you want to stick up your butt?" And I laughed so hard.
That is a funny threat.
How good at being blind would you have to be able to
pull it off?
Pinpoint the asshole.
Yeah.
Just get a stick up there.
Well, he's got a great sense of smell, you know?
Yeah, it does increase their sense of smell. I never thought of that. That's true. And it was our friend Bruce. I bet his ass smells. Oh, God. I bet he's the worst person to be blind around. What? All that smell.
Does he stink?
No,
I don't think you've ever stank.
He's cleaner than I am. That takes like 3 showers a day. At other people's water bill expense. They like, take showers at hangouts.
What?
Like you'll be hanging out at somebody's house and he's like, "You mind if I take
a
shower?
Hey, man, you want to have a shower real quick?" Oh, that's funny. I had a friend of mine complain about that. Like, there was a mutual friend of ours was at their house and she was just there hanging out and she was like, "Do you mind if I shower?" And they're like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
What a psycho.
Yeah, who
that's
the fuck
does that? That's such a psycho thing to ask.
I know. They made fun of her about it for years.
I barely want to let you go to the bathroom in my house.
Yeah.
Never mind, take all your clothes off.
First of all, I don't want you to shit here.
Body.
I never want you to shit here. Don't ever take a shit in my house. It's
well,
for
I'm
pissing
on it.
I'm certain. But I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
When you have
I'm
a
All right, well, I'll just wear a diaper next time I come here.
Preach.
We have a list here, but man, the daddy issues really took over.
Sorry. I'm just aggravated. It's because I just had to see him, so I'm just mad about it, you know? And it's the same kind of thing, like, for instance, him and I aren't really talking, right? And mm-hmm. if he would have just apologized, that's all I wanted. And he refuses to do that, but he'll try to call me constantly. He doesn't text, but he sent me a text saying, like, "If you fell into a volcano, I would jump after you and wrap myself around you so it would take longer for you to burn." Bullshit like that.
So
literally,
that's torture.
Literally anything.
So you experience burning to death longer?
No.
If I would jump into a volcano just to make that experience last longer for you. That's fucking torture.
He means protect me from
No, he meant he knew what he was saying.
Exactly. There you go.
He's
You're
an
proving
asshole.
My point. He is an asshole. But he's
that's
literally
so dramatic.
He is dramatic. He's so dramatic. And that's fine.
He sounds like he should be in a band with like 8 words in the band name. Like the sand
dying until the day is done or something.
The sand that grinds the pupil.
He's so dramatic, dude.
Does he have a swoopy haircut that covers one of his eyes? Does he wear a black wristband and a shirt that the bottom of his belly sticks out with a white belt?
Oddly enough, he looks like the fucking the Dos Equis guy, the most interesting man in the world. That's what he looks like.
He's the most dramatic man in the world.
He's the most dramatic man in the world.
He's cried during Ace Ventura.
he loves rom-coms.
He managed to take 9/11 personally. He's the most dramatic man in the world.
Yeah. But there's like therapy and shit like that. You can work on your personality. Like you can work on it, you know?
Yeah, who wants to do that when you could just build a bomb?
It's way exactly. But my point is, he's literally trying to do anything he can to not apologize.
Is he wildly religious?
No, he shopped around a lot. That's part of the reason
is
why.
He ever Muslim?
No, he never. I think he was like fascinated. He was fascinated with it, but he didn't get into it. I think it was too new of a religion. Like it was
Islam too new of a religion.
New to him.
Oh.
You know?
That's like one of the old ones there.
Yeah, no.
It goes way back.
But it's like, I think it was Catholic first because it's Hispanic, so naturally Catholic. I remember we went to just some regular kind of Christian church. I don't remember what sect it was. He had Jehovah's Witnesses over for a while. Like, wow. Yeah, he was like trying to figure it out, you know? So I never had anything. There wasn't anything shoved down my throat enough for me to have that.
Now he just worships the God of emotion.
He was also at Santeria too. So he went the other way too, you know?
Did he ever cut a chicken's head off?
Oh, for sure. He did all that. He was like hardcore into it. I remember one time I think I was 12. He told me that he was guaranteed to see my 21st birthday. Like a spirit promised him that he was going to, because he like sacrificed enough to this altar of something.
How old is he now?
He was born in 52, 50s.
No, he's not.
Okay. I don't know.
My dad's in his 60s. He's born 55.
Well, there you go.
67.
Yeah. He's in his 60s.
So a God told him that he was going to live to 59 to see your 21st birthday?
No, when I was 12, he told me that he was promised to live until he saw my 21st birthday.
Which he was 59. That's not that impressive.
I don't know. I was 12, dude. I don't know.
What
like
a weird thing to tell a kid.
He is weird.
I once saw a Santeria priest in New Orleans because I was having all these dreams about my mom. And mm-hmm. The guy told me that it was a demon disguising himself as my mom, trying to get me to let him into my soul.
Yikes. So what'd you do?
I had to burn a bunch of different things. I don't know. I didn't really.
Did the dreams go away?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. It worked,
I guess. No.
Yeah, there was like another time where my aunt used to date this Cuban dude, and he, I guess, like some shit went awry with him, and like he had like a priestess on his side. So then like they started trying to like make my aunt sick, and she started getting really sick. So then my dad like intervened and like started battling. So they had like a Santeria off where where it was like, you know,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, where so he was like fighting with this woman and like sacrificing a bunch of shit and burning a bunch of shit to like try and counter the things trying to make my aunt sick, and then trying to like get this bitch to stop trying to kill my aunt.
What does he do on an average day?
Well, now he just he watches TV and he tinkers in the yard. He still acts like an old dude, like an old man, but he's still here. Here's my whole theory with crazy in general. I think crazy never goes away. I think you just get so tired you can't act it out anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Like, what's he gonna do? He's gonna wield a machete again. He's gonna wrench his back. You know what I mean? He doesn't have he doesn't have the same strength he used to throw a TV out the window. You know?
Wow. That also happens to like rock stars.
Yeah. He used to do it just because he thought I watched TV too much, which was really him watching TV too much.
And he just threw it out and then had to buy a new one?
Yep. Threw it out the window. It was a big TV too.
Wow.
Threw it out the window.
Such emotion. Such passion.
Yes. A lot of passion. I do get my passion from him. You know,
That's crazy.
Will say that. I just don't channel it into beating the shit out of my kid and my mom or my wife. Well, he doesn't really hit her. He did put a gun to her head, though.
Yeah, but that's not hitting.
It's not hitting.
Did he pull the trigger?
He used to play like Russian roulette with them, and freak my mom out and stuff.
But when he put the gun to her head, was he pulling the trigger?
She's not dead, if that's what you're asking. They played.
I don't know what the problem is.
Russian roulette. Like, there was a bullet.
But they were playing together?
No, she was being a fucking psycho and being like, fra, flat, fra, flat. And yeah. I know those sound effects don't tell you what I just did, but he's spinning the barrel, shooting himself.
They know what Russian
roulette spinning is. The barrel, shooting it at her. Yeah.
Wow, you were raised by like William Burroughs. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I know people who are way bigger pain in the ass than you have had it way easier. I don't know how it.
Give me an example.
No, I'm not naming names like that.
No, not names. Give me like an example of behavior.
Oh, just people that have smashed everything I've owned.
Yeah.
Because dad died of a heroin overdose. Like, chill out, dude.
Yeah, at least he died.
Yeah.
At least you got to rebel against
you
that.
Raised by a junkie, which would have been way worse. Sorry. I know it's hard to process, but your dad dying was the best thing that ever happened to your child.
Right. How come nobody ever gets that? Like, that was like one thing when people, I remember growing up and everybody was just, because it was like really big to have divorced parents when I was little. Like, so many of my friends had divorced parents, right?
Yeah, DPs.
Yeah. And I just remember being like, because my parents would fight all the time. I just remember being like, why not me? Like, why? I wish my parents got divorced.
My parents divorced for a little while, and they got back together.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird.
Yeah, that's real weird. My friend Dean has this great joke about that where him and his ex-wife got divorced and then he went back. He's like, that's like breaking out of prison and then go, like, once you're out, like, I wonder what the guys are up to. And then you go back to prison.
Recidivism. Yeah. Marital recidivism. That's funny. Yeah, I remember like my dad had like a little apartment for a while,
mm-hmm.
and we got a dog. And the dog hated the dad, so I loved the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I was mad at my dad. And then they were back together, and it was just like, oh, that was a weird 3-4 years.
I hate him still, or do I not hate him still?
Yeah.
How's that supposed to... Yeah, that's got to be really weird on a kid in general, just to be like... Because when you think about sides, I mean, nobody wants to take sides, but when you're a kid, like, that's all you know, right?
Everybody wants to take sides now. Are you kidding me? That's all the world is. Have you been on Facebook?
I just meant like in the context of a family.
Now everybody's like, the lines have been drawn. You have to take a side. It's like because 100 rednecks.
See, that's the bullshit. Like
Virginia, I got to take every side on everything now.
And that's what makes me really mad too. Is like, my dad is threatened to kill me and threatened to kill my mom, blow us up, come at us with a sledgehammer, machete, all that shit. And I didn't disown him. But now people want to disown their parents just because how they voted.
That's not why, though. I hate this. I know exactly what you're talking about. I see on Facebook people being like, if you have an uncle who voted for Trump, then he's a white supremacist by association and is your duty to disown him. And it's like, the reason why you hate your uncle is because he grabbed your ass when you were 13. It has nothing to do with who he voted for.
Yeah.
Nobody, if there, I know... I have so many people in my family and life who I've met who voted for Trump who are stand-up people. They just don't know any better. And it doesn't mean that they belong to a white supremacist group. The reason why it's easy for you to disown... If it was hard for you to disown your uncle, you wouldn't do it. Nobody would do anything hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like...
Well, actually, what's harder is having a conversation with your uncle about why he voted for Trump and trying to convince him otherwise. That's what's hard, is having a conversation and trying to change that person's mind, or at least see your perspective as to why you chose differently.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
what's
have
hard.
These conversations with my dad. Whenever he talks about Trump, I bring up a Green Bay Packers recent transaction and just redirect him, because I'm not going to change his mind, but I'm not going to disown him because he fucking fed me for 18 years and is a good person.
Yeah.
He just doesn't understand the world. He has no world perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I'm not going to disown. People are just so fucking intense right now, and it's none of it's real. And you know what they're doing? First of all, when you give...
And they're not intense like that in person either. Because that's the thing is, like, I meet people all the time and it's super passive. Even if shit gets brought up, it's super passive. Or they're just... Either they withdraw and they don't say anything, and then they go online and they fucking write about it then, or they just because they're incapable of communicating their thoughts in person.
They don't know anything. Like, this guy came up to... I was having a very impassioned conversation with a very funny comedian, Ramsey Badawi, last night, and this guy just jumps in, doesn't know what we're talking about, knows he heard the word Nazi, so that's what brought him over.
Mm-hmm.
And he was this Nigerian dude, and he was like, if those guys came into Compton, they would... You notice they go to West Virginia. I was like, they went to Virginia. They didn't go to West Virginia. And he's like, yeah, whitest place on earth. I was like, Virginia is not the whitest place on earth at all. And he's like, yeah, let those fools go into... And I was like, are you saying that they'd get shot if they were in Compton? He goes, they'd just beat their ass. And I was like, so you're assuming because people are black, they can fight better than these rednecks? I was like, the reason why you think people in Compton can fight is because they grew up poor and they scrap. What do you think these fucking Nazis are? They're dudes who grew up poor who scrap.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I bet those people who had the balls to go out with a swastika in public would beat 99% of people in Compton's ass. And I was like,
because they've had to fight a lot by having that swastika on their neck. You don't, like, it's not an easy. And a lot of them got them in prison. A lot of them got those.
They're Peckerwoods. Yeah. They're like, that's a gang, a white supremacist prison gang. And but then it's just like, and then I was like, what are you, and he goes, no, not in Compton. I was like, so you're assuming that black people through genetics can fight better? You on some bell curve shit right now? And he's like, what's the bell curve? And I was like, exactly, you don't know anything. Stop interjecting into conversations. There wasn't what Virginia's not the whitest place on earth. They weren't in West Virginia. And people, it's so much of these impassioned people just come in so impassioned and so uninformed. And but because they're on a left side, they assume they're automatically right and they have a moral high ground.
But that's not a real conversation, though. You know, like that's not.
That's what I'm saying.
Plus,
there
not
is
only
no
that,
conversation,
but what the fuck was? What was he contributing to that? Oh, if they went to Compton, then they would have got their asses beat.
It was just so annoying, and I'm just everybody's just so fucking serious now, and it's just like all you're doing is giving them good press. Like, let me tell you something. As a person who was I grew up in a very religious town in Duluth, Georgia. They had the fucking Ten Commandments on my fucking geometry teacher's wall, which is illegal, and I was overly. And so you know what I did? I started fucking churches up, and like as a person who is attracted to countercultural behavior, I know for a fact, giving all this, there's like a fucking 400 Nazis are in Virginia. That's in a country of 300 and something million people. Giving them all that press is going to, all that free fucking press, just like they did for Trump. Trump didn't spend any money on his campaign until way deep in the campaign because the media was giving him so much free press and his movement just built and built and built and built off this free press.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing with these fucking white supremacists. There aren't that many active, organized, out in public fucking fight for it white supremacists, but I bet their numbers are going to double, triple, quadruple the more they get this coverage.
Yeah, because now anybody even with an inkling of that shit across the country is like, oh.
I know what it feels like to be a 15-year-old
forming.
And be like, whoa, why is this group pissing everybody off? I want to piss people off.
Yeah.
I know what that feels like. Luckily, I went the exact opposite direction, but like, I know for a fact that all this press is just tripling their numbers. And I posted a joke online that said, getting these Nazis doxxed and exposed and firing them just gives them more time to do Nazi stuff.
Yeah.
Because
that's really funny.
And my whole
the logic makes sense, right? Because if you're not at work, like, man, I can't wait to get off work to go do some Nazi stuff.
I know.
Now you're like, oh man, all I have my to do is free time to do Nazi
just
stuff.
It has a calendar that just has swastikas in every square. And it's just like, if you want to stop the Nazis, make them have three jobs. Hire them the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
Give them 3-4 jobs, because I know single moms who are raising children on three jobs. You know what they don't do is Nazi stuff. They don't do anything. They just work and feed their kids. They have no. And also, if there's no pattern of misconduct in their work and you're firing them for what they did outside of work, that's wrongful termination. They get unemployment. You have now financed this person to do Nazi stuff. You have now given them a check.
Good job, buddy.
Now I understand the counters to this. I'm obviously making a joke.
Yeah.
If anybody goes on the Facebook feed, it's pretty obvious when I'm joking, when I'm not, because I'm always joking.
Right.
And so.
Well, that's the purpose of your, you're not.
I'm just hashing out ideas that I'm going to think about later. It's basically like writing down in a notebook, write a joke about this later.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of the stuff I'm posting. And I always get serious responses, and I just want to smash their fucking faces in. Where it's just like, oh, firing Nazi just gives them more time to do Nazi stuff.
Nazi stuff.
And then friends write, well, did you know, if you're limiting their resources, then blah, 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 blah. And then it kicks off a thread of people seriously
discussing
fucking Nazis. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. I know who I am. I know how I feel. This is just a forum for jokes. Don't try to educate me. Just like, if you want to be serious.
It's not even educating, though, dude. It's not even, because again, it's still all an uninformed, super passion with no information.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's still all a lot of that shit. It's just literally that person that interrupted your conversation last night is doing that, but in the middle of a joke.
Exactly.
It's online.
Either ha 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 or skip ahead.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't have to respond.
You don't have to think it's funny.
You don't have to do anything.
No.
That's why it's mine. I'm not including you at all.
This isn't where I find my social life.
Facebook, I think that's what it is.
And that's where they get their social
life. You know what? I never even thought about it like that, but that is exactly what it is.
This is their water cooler.
Yeah.
And for me,
a huge fucking water cooler.
I have more conversations than I would ever want in my life on a daily basis. I have too much social interaction. I hate it. I desire to live in a cabin in Montana. Like, that's my goal.
That'd be nice.
But so I don't need these little serious conversations on Facebook, and I only use them for jokes. Like, pretty much. I mean, you will catch a couple serious posts, you know, every now and then I forget and I get sentimental about a friend who blew his brains out or something. No, but for real, like, just keep the serious thing off the fucking Unless it's so obvious. I'll put a heart emoji on there. If there's a heart emoji at the end of the sentence, it's probably serious. 1 in 100 are serious. I try so hard not to. I let my mom's birthday.
But so many
go
people are using that as a megaphone to like say their thoughts and on and how they think the world should be and shit. And so then people constantly want to argue with that and want to, you know, actually, you know, they want to push their right. glasses up and tell you their 2 cents because of social media, they think it matters. They think that what they're saying is doing something.
Yeah. I guess I should just be appreciative of people paying attention and responding. But like, if you want to catch up, just send me a Facebook message or call me and I'll ignore those too. unless we're actually friends.
Right.
Even if we are actually friends, I'm just terrible at staying in touch. Mm-hmm. But it just annoys me when somebody invites a fucking...
Or it's just like, it's the same thing to me, like in the context of when you're performing, when you do a joke and someone's like, aw, and I'm like, no, you're dumb. This is a joke.
Oh, right.
It's an embellishment of truth.
Oh, man. How about when comics ask you if a bit's true? Does that make you want to smash their head in? Did that really happen? Who fucking cares?
Yes.
Were they laughing? Who fucking cares? Why are you fact-checking my joke? No,
it's also just because, like, because if it's like crazy, like, wow, did that really happen? You know, like, as an inquiry of excitement, like, holy shit, that's got to be crazy. And then want to talk to you about it. I mean, you don't have to decapitate everybody that inquires about everything, Brian.
Leave me alone! But pay attention silently! Don't leave me alone. Just don't make a noise. You are a hostage.
You are a hostage of my thoughts.
I want loving hostages. I want adoration, silence.
You want a Stockholm syndrome is what you want.
Actually, I don't even want silence. I just exclusively want laughter and your money. That's all I want. You're right. I'm wrong. Guys, keep posting serious stuff. Turns out I'm a psycho.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I posted something the other day about how, like, I was happy that progress was happening. Was a serious progress was happening with psychedelics being used for people with mental illness and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it turned into, and I had a really, like, legit, lengthy conversation with somebody online that didn't result into name calling and stuff like that. Right. And it was both a mental health worker. I don't remember if they were a psychologist or psychiatrist, but they worked in the mental health field and were talking about how, like, because I said some things that were kind of antidepressants. Like, I think there's a lot of bad that can be done with those because they're so easily prescribed and stuff. And I don't mean that all of them, I don't think everybody should.
You're into Dianetics now? You're Tom Cruise?
No. No, absolutely not. But I'm just saying that they are easily prescribed in a lot of times. Like, because my dad's being used as like a guinea pig for a lot of these mental illness drugs as of like maybe the last 5 years. And like some of them have really fucked up his body. Some of them have made him worse. Some of them like, and
so
they're
just
figuring it out.
So you don't think that has anything to do with him being a dick?
Nope, that behavior was way before that. It's just this I'm just, it's come to a head for me. I just don't want to deal with it anymore.
Sure. Did he vote for Trump?
He didn't vote.
I was gonna say that's an easy way to disown somebody.
No, he's still like not, he's not a citizen, so he can't vote anyways.
Ugh, gross. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's an immigrant.
Get him out. Get him out.
My dad, he's
did he float here?
He didn't. He came here legit. His that was the other thing is I remember when I was little, he would be really hard on immigrants too. And I was like, bitch, your mom did all the work to get you here. You didn't do shit. Like, how are you going to be fucking mean to other immigrants? You know? And there, I've noticed that's a pretty big thing in like the Cuban American community is to be more conservative and stuff like that. And but actually, like, my dad's gotten way more left as he's gotten older, which I've liked. So in that regard, we've gotten along pretty okay, but, it's just, he has always been like a ball buster though. Like, he used to go, He used to fly the Confederate flag on his boat when he would go out. And then when some fucking good old boy would come up to me like, oh, no speak English, no speak English. And they would be like, he's goddamn, why are you flying that fucking flag? Like, and they would lose their mind because there was this Cuban dude who was flying a Confederate flag.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Ugh. Just a dick.
I hate rednecks so much, dude. Like, I love them and I hate them.
Right.
Like, I love what they're into, like, as far as not politically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like getting mud on shit.
Yeah, for sure.
I like not
drinking.
Yeah, wearing jeans.
Yeah, being a dude. You know? Yeah, all of that stuff. So yeah. Like, all that stuff is super fun.
That's why I hate
fun.
Them so much, because I like what they do.
Yeah.
But then it just always gets into bullshit. But, man, I don't like anybody, though. I noticed something I've been thinking about. Growing up in Georgia, the most annoying people I ever met were the Christians. The people who were fucking proselytizing me. And we used to rearrange signs on churches and, like, get real creative with our vandalism.
Mm-hmm.
One time I burned an angel food cake in front of a church. And then the next night we came back and just left a devil's food cake there untouched. Like, real conceptual vandalism.
That's fun.
And then I moved to Oakland, California, and there was just all these, like, Bill Hicks style annoying atheists who are just always talking about how you're stupid if you believe in God. And I'm like, well, it's not like that.
They're just being Christians about not Christian.
Yeah.
About not.
And God, now yeah. I live in LA, and now it's really super in vogue to shit talk atheists for being annoying.
Well, here's the
and
thing.
Now
is
I'm like, I just where do I go to? I just don't like anybody.
Don't be a vegan about everything. You know what I mean? It's that whole I am this and this is dumb. If you're not this, this is dumb. It's so obnoxious and self-serving.
Stop believing in stuff. It makes war. If everybody was just a jaded fucking.
If everyone was you, if you lived in a world of just you, everything would be fine.
It would be a mean world with no murder. If everybody just stopped caring about shit.
I just learned recently that I think I may be a nihilist. Like, because I didn't know what any of that stuff meant. And then I went on a podcast where you talk about what you think God is. Like, if you created your own religion. And then, like, I was describing everything that I believe and stuff. And they're like, yeah, that's like nihilism. And I was like, oh, I don't know.
Nihilism is very in vogue in the radical left right now.
Mm.
But yeah, no, I just feel like if people just stopped caring so much about identity, that's the great thing about, like, I grew up half my life in Maine, half my life in Georgia, and then in California. And it's just like, I don't know what my last name is. I don't know how to attach that to Europe. We can't find it for real. There's some guesses. So I don't know what I am. Am I a Yankee? Am I a Southerner? Am I what European people? So I don't really have any sense of identity.
And I think that's the beautiful. Safest. It's the safest place to be. It's the safest place. Because that's the whole thing. Is like I never cared.
I don't
look it up.
Fuck.
I know I have a Hispanic dad and I have an Italian mom. I was born here. But I don't care. I don't care. None of that means anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean I matter more or matter less. None of this fucking matters.
Everything that is wrong in the world is based around identity.
Yeah.
What am I? What are you? This is good. That is bad.
The whole labels. I mean, that's why it's and maybe it's we have such commitment issues. We don't even want to commit to a thing. Like, because that's been the whole thing.
Well,
I have
in my past committed to a lot of things.
See,
I hated all of it. And I freaked out and ran away from all of it.
I fucked men. I fucked women. That's fine. I didn't care. I don't like that. None of that means anything to me.
Yeah.
You know what?
I dropped out
care.
Of college. I've been a teacher. I joined the military. I've been an anarchist. Like, I've lived in the north.
The
I lived in the south.
Yeah.
I've fought Nazis. I've moved to Germany. Like, I've tried them all out.
Yeah.
None of them fit.
Well, because none of them. That's the thing, is there is no fitting. It's all in your own head.
It's just, yeah, it's. That's the thing that drives me crazy about the current political climate, is just everybody has a side and is just so emotionally invested. I don't like any of them. I don't have any Nazis that I know of or outspoken Nazis on my fucking internet feed. So all I'm seeing is this other stuff, and I get so annoyed with them that I'm like, whoa, I'm getting so mad at these people. Like, am I just all of a sudden moving to the right? Am I a Republican now? Because of everything these people say. And then you read that and you get mad at them. And then it's just like, it's just any group. Any group can go suck a dick.
Well, that's like group mentalities where I mean, crowds, right? That's the difference.
Yeah, they're the worst.
Individuals are good. Crowds are dumb.
Unless those individuals are driving cars into crowds. then they're not the best. Although, looks attractive. I'll tell you that. You ever been to the 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica?
Oh yeah, buddy. Right down the middle.
Give me a fucking H2 Hummer and I'll fucking throw some bodies off the windshield.
That 45-year-old dude playing Eagles covers, yeah. He's getting right on
the
windshield.
It's all motivation. That's all that. It's the motivation you attach. It's the identity you attach to it. Mm-hmm. If some guy was just like, you know what? Fuck it. And just drove
that's
why
it was like that Bill Burr bit that was so great, where you're just like a regular person and then you turn the wheel like 2 degrees and it's like completely horrific. Oh my god, you're just like, this is just like I'm on my way to a barbecue. Oh my god, this is the worst thing we've ever seen. Yeah, it's just like I get that. Yeah. But it's the identity is what ruins everything.
I know, if somebody was just randomly driving into a crowd, I would have a hard time
not laughing at it?
No. Well, yeah. I still... Never mind. just wait. Never mind. That's a thought for off mic. Let's just say I had to retire my joke about ISIS doing that because it was a little sympathetic.
It was. But that's the thing, is people can't get past the ISIS part without hearing the conceptual part.
Right.
You know, hearing out the conceptual part. And that's the thing is everybody's talking and nobody's listening and nobody really cares about change.
You know what's funny?
They just want to personally feel better. Feel like they're right.
I used to do this joke about ISIS and saying that, like, who hasn't wanted to drive a car through a crowd? Mm-hmm. Like, anybody who's ever driven for a second in any city in this country, Atlanta, San Francisco, LA, knows what it feels like to have that rage. Mm-hmm. And when I compared it to ISIS, I noticed that Lefty California laughed so hard. And then I redid that joke the day of the Charlottesville thing and put it myself in that guy's car. Being like, I still get it, like what it feels like to want to drive through a crowd. I don't agree, but they couldn't get past the fact that it was racist, mm-hmm. but they could easily get past ISIS. And it's just like, they're both bad dummies.
Yeah.
They're both bad. Like, and they're both so ridiculous to like, for me to like they're both so ridiculous, but I don't know. I just, that's just like something that annoys me about the left is that they can chuckle about ISIS, but white supremacists off limits. Maybe it's because it was the day of. I don't know.
It might have been a too soon moment,
but
for
the
sure.
It was way too polished. Obviously, it was an old joke that I just changed. I just changed the setting.
You guys think I came up with this today?
This is too, slick. I'm not smart. But yeah, no, I was just like, when he, like, and also, like, because I was like, man, critical mass, you know what that is? Critical what? Mass. Mm-hmm. It's I used to do it when I was younger, but it's when everybody rides bikes and blocks traffic with their bike, and everybody rides bikes through the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time I was post doing that kind of shit.
So it's just like a protest, but on a bike.
Yeah, just for bike rights or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just thousands of bikes block, and it's always during rush hour. They want to block as much traffic as possible to like raise attention or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's also like you're getting people who are coming home from work.
Right.
Who hate their lives.
Yeah.
And I remember years after I used to do this shit, I saw one go by and I saw a car try to smash somebody. And luckily he kind of reason took over, but he lurched forward in his car and he was about to hit somebody and then slammed on his brakes and it turned into a big altercation. Mm-hmm. And at that moment I was like,
I understand.
And I would love to drive through a protest.
Because all that person in that car wants to do is just fucking go home.
He doesn't even want to go home.
But saying, go home, watch primetime television, eat dinner, and fucking forget about his day. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's not, I don't.
I think of it this way. I think he hates his home life and his work life. And he's like, I'm going somewhere I don't even want to go. I'm stuck in traffic going to a place I hate. Like,
well, then the traffic, you would like the traffic.
No, because it's all jail. It's all prison. I don't want to be anywhere. Like, I don't want to. I hate being in traffic. I hate being at work. I hate being at home. I hate my stupid husband. I hate my stupid kids. And, like, you're making my already shit life harder. Like, what makes you think that I would ever raise any level of sympathy or empathy from somebody.
Yeah, but just by
I'm not comparing that to Charlottesville. But that's a completely different situation. I'm just talking about.
Yeah, I didn't think you were.
I want to make it clear because I jumped from Charlottesville to critical mass. I want to make it clear that I was talking about the bicyclists.
Yeah.
But like, and now every time I see a critical mass, I fantasize about just bikes going off my windshield. But I don't support that.
Well, I think this was fun.
Yeah, this is good.
I feel a lot better.
I don't. I have a little bit of anxiety about certain things I said and people who are going to be listening to it. So I hope you can take a joke and realize that I'm not even going to remember I said all this stuff.
You don't. You definitely don't. You didn't even remember a donut you promised somebody. Yeah, you're not going to remember. So. This is just what we think at this very moment.
Yeah.
I'm certain we both changed our minds so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally fine. We'll be all right. I think our listeners are smart enough to get it. Or we're just busting balls anyways. Yeah. We're just busting the world's balls. That's all. Guys, make sure you email us if there's things that you don't like. Let's tell us, and then we'll write about it, or I mean, we'll talk about it. It's nosiridontlikeitpodcast@gmail.com. That's nosiridontlikeitpodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you follow us on the social media at nosirpod. Tell your friends, subscribe, review, all that good stuff. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
No sir, I don't like it. No sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
What the fuck is the fucking matter? Make a stupid one.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.